The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Suarez, in for Wilbon for a third straight day. And Tony, are you excited to have me back?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. It's Friday. Why not?
You know what? I will take that completely tapioca, tepid level of enthusiasm. It's an improvement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, it's been working.
We made it to Friday. Let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
Just general replacement
level. Welcome to PTI,
level.
Boys and girls. Wilbon has the day off. I'm joined once again by our great friend from the ESPN Daily and Debatable podcast, Mr. Pablo Torres. Nice cheers. And we begin today with the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia between the 15-3 Eagles and the 15-4 San Francisco 49ers. Pablo, would you rather be the Niners or the Eagles heading into this game?
So, Tony, my smart football friends who grind all of the tape and do all of the deep dive numbery analysis, they like the Eagles in this. I like the Niners. Mm-hmm. And I say all of that because maybe it's because I relate to the notion of a fill-in who steps into a well-oiled machine and gets to pilot something that is not just about him and gets to profit from its success. But yeah, Brock Purdy and me, I kind of see what's happening here and I like it. I think Brock Purdy's the biggest weakness for the Niners, but I like the weapons around him, Tony. Like, I just don't get how the Eagles defense, as good as they are, can stop everything around Brock Purdy, from George Kittle to Christian McCaffrey to Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, down the line. I just don't get how they stop them.
I love the sublimation in that. I love how you transferred yourself into Brock Purdy. I just love every bit of that.
It's always about me.
I was on the 49ers 3 months ago, the day of the McCaffrey trade. I'm not getting off them now. But here is what worries me for them in this particular game. One is sort of minor. It's the flying across country and playing the game at 12 noon on your body clock, and maybe that's a little bit jarring. Purdy, obviously, is someone I worry about. He's a third-string rookie quarterback. No rookie has ever made it to the Super Bowl. I worry that the moment is too big, that the light is too bright. I worry a little bit. I shouldn't do this. I worry a little bit about the San Francisco defense in this regard, that Philadelphia has a running quarterback. Lots of chunk plays when Jalen Hurts runs with the ball. Maybe they'll be the first team to overwhelm the 49ers defense. And these are the things that I worry about. But then I step back and I say to myself, you know what? The 49ers are a more complete team. They really are. Their defense has proven it all year long. They allow 16 points a game. They're more varied on offense. And I don't want to say, and they, by the way, the Eagles score 29 points a game, which is really a lot, but San Francisco scores 27. That's awfully close. I don't want to say that Kyle Shanahan is a better coach than Nick Sirianni, because Nick Sirianni's record this year speaks for itself. But, and there's always a but, Kyle Shanahan has been to a Super Bowl as a coordinator, and he's been there as a head coach, and he may be more prepared for this particular moment.
Yeah, haunted by 28-3, Kyle Shanahan is. That is something that I think forms his mentality probably. But, Tony, I just want to give credit to the Eagles here. I do think this is going to be a very close game. This is not an easy game to pick. I think the Eagles' offensive line, we're going to talk about offensive line throughout the weekend, their O-line is as unstoppable as any that I have seen. And yeah, it sort of reminds me of a storyline in the AFC. Now let's move there, because the Bengals in their O-line, they take on the Chiefs, and Joe Burrow, Tony, is 3-0 against the Chiefs, including last year's championship game in which the Bengals came back to win after going down 21-3. But Patrick Mahomes says the right ankle he sprained last week against Jacksonville now feels better than expected. So do you give the edge to the Bengals or to the Chiefs?
Okay, so you asked that question of 10 million football fans, and 10 million football fans say this: well, you got to tell me how his ankle is. I mean, every single consideration here boils down to how Patrick Mahomes' ankle is. I had Jason LaConfora on my podcast this morning, and he had this great phrase. He said, there's a Zapruder film. I just love the way he said that. There's a Zapruder film of Mahomes stepping down off a stage after an interview session yesterday. So the question is pretty simple. What percentage is he going to be able to play at? And is that percentage going to be enough to bring Kansas City to, I believe, its third Super Bowl in 4 years? But what if I told you, Pablo, that from where I'm sitting, Cincinnati is a better team than Kansas City, even if Patrick Mahomes is 100%. I know what happened last year. I understand Kansas City home game up 21-3, as you said, and then Cincinnati scored 24 of the next 27 points and won that game. And last year, Kansas City had Tyreek Hill. They don't have him this year. And I think Cincinnati is better this year. And I think Ja'Marr Chase is unstoppable against this team.
Some
brief statistics here. 3 games, 25 catches, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns. I think the question should be, what is Kansas City going to do to stop Cincinnati, not the other way around?
Yeah, I like to sort of puzzle through the disrespect at play here. Because on the one hand, we come into this, Tony, like I picked the Chiefs in every single one of those games that they lost to the Bengals because I believe in the mythology, the reality of Deus Ex Mahomes, right? From the heavens, he will be the greatest, most talented quarterback we've ever seen. I have been proven wrong each of those times, obviously. But now, just as I'm tempted to pay the Bengals their respects, I noticed the disrespect, the Burrowhead Stadium stuff that we talked about yesterday, that Chris Jones, the pass rusher for the Chiefs, who is really good, pointed out as he was leaving the podium just recently, muttered it almost as if to acknowledge, I cannot believe you people are doing this to us. You're underrating even a Patrick Mahomes who's banged up, but also, Tony, notably, was not listed on the injury report. I feel like the other thing, I mentioned the O-line too, I just think the Bengals O-line, as miraculous as the performance was, let's not mince words about the fact that they're still missing 3 starters. And I just don't think we can write that off as if it's solved right now, even for all the Chiefs' injury problems.
All of that is fair. What's also fair to point out is that Kansas City is 18th against the pass all year long, 18th. Joe Burrow's not the 18th best quarterback.
He's really good.
He's better than that. The most amazing thing about this game is our consumption with the betting line. Kansas City opened up as a favorite, -2.5. Then the ankle problems set in on people, and suddenly Cincinnati was a 1.5 favorite. Now it's down to Kansas City, -1 at this point. I fully expect in those DraftKings commercials that that they wear boots on their right ankle. You know, what's Hart's first name? What's his first name? Yeah, Kevin Hart. That Kevin Hart will do those commercials with
Kevin
boots
Hart
on his ankle. We move now to the future of these conference championship games. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated writes that it is inevitable that NFL owners will, quote, start talking seriously about moving the 2 conference championship games to neutral sites. The impetus for this discussion is the planning they went through to put a Kansas City-Buffalo championship game at a neutral site this year if need be. There's more money for the league in neutral site games, more control, because the site is known well in advance. Pablo, is the NFL smart to consider neutral site championship games going forward?
Tony, at some point, and I nod, of course, to the Don Allmeyer quote that you always point out in conversations like this, the answer to all your questions is money. Yes. The question I have now, though, is how much money does the NFL actually need? Right? Like, at some point, what you're doing is you're taking your product and you are diluting it as an entertainment vehicle because you've covered Super Bowls. You've been to them. I have been to these games, too. They are the least electric atmospheres in the NFL postseason.
Crowds are bad.
Because it's not a home game for anyone. And the question is, we just learned, you know, one of the lessons, the many lessons of the pandemic, right? Don't underrate the impact of human beings in stadiums who care about the games. And this just feels like a direction that you don't want to go in if you care about the product being as compelling as possible.
It's very hard for me to get behind this on any level. It's not like a college bowl game where the site has been determined for decades. It's not like the college football playoff where they don't have a tradition of home field because that just started an hour and a half ago. The tradition in the National Football League is when you get to the championship game, you get to host it because you've earned it. And if there's snow and cold out there, so be it. I mean, that's just something that has to happen. they already have in the Super Bowl a neutral site game. And as you point out, it's not a lot of fun. I mean, it's not.
No.
It doesn't feel like a spontaneous,
which is shocking
game.
To normal now, people who have not been there. They don't get it. But go there and it's like, it doesn't feel good. Yeah.
The other major sports, baseball, basketball, and hockey, go all the way down the line, all the way down the line in the championship series, going home and home. I mean, that's what they do. And that's what we are used to. I can make the case, or I could try to make the case, Pablo, that weather is too much of a determinant in certain places like Green Bay and Buffalo in January. Mm. But Buffalo just lost. They just had snow at home, and they just lost. And I believe Green Bay has lost twice at home in recent championship game situations, and they've got cold. So, keep it the way it is. Keep it the way it is. People have earned
Agreed.
It. Let's take a break. Coming up, how should the NBA feel if four players voted for Chet Holmgren to start the All-Star game?
And what's the word for how James Dolan has been using facial recognition software, Tony, at Madison Square Garden?
Well, yeah, I mean, every opportunity like this to quote the late, great Don Ohlmeyer, that the answer to all your questions is money, you should use it. Because there's no reason to do this except money.
Cuts to the core of the entire thing. Like, I get it as a business practice. I just wonder, I think you guys have a lot of money already. Feels like maybe you just keep it fun for everyone else who's, watching and attending.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vegas has my vocabulary as a prohibitive underdog against Pablo's. I feel like Tommy Paul going against Djokovic, but let's see how things play out. What's first?
It's blank that four NBA players voted Chet Holmgren an all-star starter.
It's disqualifying. I don't know if this is some sort of joke or it's some sort of protest, but Chet Holmgren hasn't played 1 minute this year. In fact, he has never played 1 minute in the NBA. He was the number two overall draft pick last year, I think, by Oklahoma City. He's in an exhibition game. He gets one of those Liz Frank injuries, and they immediately declare him out for the year. So if you vote for him, whatever your agenda is, you should not be allowed to vote ever again in this particular competition. I have been told that 330 different NBA players received
record.
At least one vote as an all-star starter. So let's just do the math for a second. There are 30 teams in a league. That means you're going 11 deep on a team to come up with a vote for one starter. I mean, really? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Players shouldn't have this vote. They're play fast and loose with it. Whatever's going on, take the vote away from them. Give it again to the media. Give it to the fans. But it's outrageous. Jokic is a two-time MVP, and he was left off 41% of the ballots. Come on.
Well, Tony, this is why my word is anti-democratic, not undemocratic, anti-democratic, because it begs the question of disenfranchisement for the athletes who have been given now 25% of the determining votes in these all-star elections. It's now 50% fans, 25% players, 25% media. And it's, you know how the Kremlin likes to make the argument? This is why you shouldn't give people the right to vote in America. This is like an op. It's like an op to take away the votes from players. Yeah. Because it's ridiculous. Yeah. And you're right. As much as I don't want to be the media gas bag navel gazing, take it seriously. I think the media, at the very least, does that more than the players at this point.
If you asked me what word I wouldn't think would come into a basketball argument, Kremlin would be very high on the list. What's next?
James Dolan's use of facial recognition software is blank.
My word is dastardly. That's a pretty good word. Dolan says he's only using this to keep out people who are suing him from watching the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, though God only knows why anybody would want to watch the Knicks. So he starts with people who are suing him, and then it becomes people he doesn't like. And then it becomes people who are critical of the team. And ultimately, it becomes the delivery boy who gets the pizza wrong at the apartment. The league has to step in and stop this. This is petty. It's mean. It's awful. It speaks to privilege. No, this could be a reason to actually make him sell a franchise. You cannot allow this technology to fall in the hands of a vindictive person.
Yes, my word for this is symptomatic, Tony, because I've said for years and years as a guy who grew up a Knicks fan, right? Like, all of the things we debate about the Knicks are symptoms of the disease. The disease is James Dolan. What he is afflicted with is an almost translucence in his skin. He is so thin-skinned to the point where he is anti-New York. We talked yesterday about how one of the things about a New York athlete, right? You take the criticism, you take the slings and the arrows and the spotlight. James Dolan is so ill-fit for this city to the point where he wants to punish the people who want to go to Knicks games in spite of their dislike of Jim Dolan. And guess what? He'll have to ban literally everybody that I know. Because anybody who goes to Knicks games, they do it holding their nose, knowing that that guy and everything he's done, just look it up, still gets to be in a position of tyrannical power.
No, listen, people say the Washington football owner is bad. The Knicks basketball owner is bad. It's bad.
Yeah, look into
That's
him
too,
please.
That's the final word. Let's take one last break, but still to come, did Mike LaFleur just get a better job than the one the Jets fired him from?
And will Novak Djokovic win the Australian Open and tie Rafa Nadal for the most majors in men's history?
So when I'm playing this game against you, it's like I get a 50-yard head start in a 100-yard dash. And for the first 30 yards, I'm doing well. But then you pass me. Even with the staggered start, then you pass me.
And yet, I look at the doctor's coat.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Kadarius Toney. After his 2020 season at Florida, where he caught 70 passes for 984 yards and 10 touchdowns, Toney was a first-round draft pick of the New York Football Giants in 2021. And that was the last Joe Judge team. Toney played in 10 games, caught 39 passes for 420 yards and no touchdowns. When Judge was fired and Brian Daboll was hired, there was a sense that Tony didn't quite fit. He was traded to the Chiefs in season this past October for two draft picks. As Kansas City continues to look for ways to replace Tyreek Hill, Tony had 14 catches for 171 yards and two touchdowns, and he has become the Chiefs' top punt returner.
Yeah, he's one of those athletes, Tony, that you watch, and you watch him break the rookie receiving record for a single game with the Giants and then throw a punch in that same game, and you're like, okay, I have concerns, but he is just so deeply talented as a specimen, as an athlete, that you just figure he'll be around this league as long as that part still holds up.
Happy anniversary, UCLA. On this day 50 years ago, the Bruins, led by Bill Walton's 16 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 blocks, beat Notre Dame in South Bend 82-63 for their 61st consecutive win, breaking San Francisco's record set in 1956 with Bill Russell at center. UCLA ran that winning streak to 88 before Notre Dame ended it in South Bend the next season, to the great delight of Irish coach Digger Phelps, who was wearing a shamrock green carnation on his lapel. In that 88-game streak, UCLA won three national championship games and had players like Walton, Jamal Wilkes, David Myers, Curtis Rowe, Sidney Wicks, and Henry Bibby. UCLA had the greatest dynasty.
Yeah, Bill Walton, the college years, Bill Walton getting bailed out the year after that streak, I believe, by John Wooden because he got arrested protesting the Vietnam War. I would watch a limited, well, more than a limited series, a multi-season arc just on that relationship alone.
And a melancholy trails to Billy Packer. The longtime and much-praised college basketball broadcaster died yesterday at age 82. From 1975 through 2008, first at NBC and then at CBS, Packer was a staple during the NCAA tournament. Packer was the son of a college basketball coach and a good college basketball player himself at Wake Forest. Packer took to TV easily and won an Emmy in 1993 for Outstanding Sports Personality. Packer worked with Dick Enberg at NBC and with Jim Nance at CBS. But the pairing of the nuts and bolts Packer with Al McGuire, the irreverent former coach of Marquette, produced the best TV booth in college basketball history.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, Tony, who says at the outset of a long career, I didn't mean to get into this. And then you look up 40 years later, he's the guy who was calling, you know, Magic and Bird, Indiana State, Michigan State, the highest rated game ever on top of every Final Four that still is sort of seared into my childhood memory. And yeah, I'm just never going to forget the voice of Billy Packer.
He and McGuire were honestly, I mean, they were a revelation. Like the first time you saw him, you said, whoa, this is just so good. A couple of omissions. Travis Kelce, listed as questionable with a back injury, but was reportedly a full participant in practice. And the Mets signed National League batting champ Jeff McNeil to a four-year, $50 million contract extension. Pablo, I would have thought with the money the Mets spend, he would get more than that.
Yeah, not as big.
All right, let's go to the big finish. Tua reportedly remains in concussion protocol, and he will not take part in next weekend's Pro Bowl games. Your thoughts?
They're touch football games now. I just perfectly NFL. Of course, play the tackle, but not the touch games. The Rams, Tony, they hired former Jets offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur as their OC. Does that make sense?
Well, McVay does all the offense, and McVay worked with LaFleur's brother, Matt LaFleur, now the coach of the Packers in both Washington and L.A. Novak Djokovic goes for his 10th Australian Open title on Sunday. Do you like his chances?
How could you not? I mean, not everybody's Tommy Paul, but this is a man clearly without a rival with, the guys he was competing against, most famously now, clearly almost out of there completely.
Yeah.
But number 9, Kansas at Kentucky tomorrow. Will Kansas lose its fourth in a row?
I think so. Kentucky's on a 4-game heater. You know, they can do a GoFundMe to get rid of Bill Self instead of Calipari. Last one. Nuggets at Sixers tomorrow afternoon. Will the Sixers win their 7th straight?
I trust the process, Tony. Still, I believe they will.
We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you so much for watching. And please check out ESPN Daily and Debatable wherever you get the good podcasts. And now this is SportsCenter.
You're the Sixers guy, right? I mean, you've been a Sixers guy for a few years, right?
Priest of the process.